the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. Today, we're going to be doing an interview with Ryan, a nuclear Bitcoiner. And this is going to be fun. So he has been on our show before. Ryan, thank you for joining us again today. And it's under short notice, too. I didn't give you all that much leeway before you agreed to come on our show, which is fantastic. How are you, brother?
Oh, thanks for having me. I've been doing great. I've been doing some traveling. Had a few conferences under my belt in the last month, and yeah, this Bitcoin nuclear promotion thing that I've been doing is getting pretty interesting. There's lots of excitement in both spaces at the moment.
Well,
you've been excited to talk about it.
You've been very busy lately as well. From what I recall, this is the second podcast just today that you're doing. Am I correct?
Yes, I was just speaking with Daniel Prince a few hours ago about basically the same topic, talking about nuclear Bitcoin mining. Yes.
Hopefully he didn't wear you out, because we have some questions here that we want to go down this path. So yeah, hopefully you're energized. You got your Red Bull or coffee or whatever.
No, I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Yeah. And you also were on Peter McCormack's show too, not too long ago. Am I correct?
Yeah. A few months ago, I had pitched the idea to Peter after he had Alex Epstein and then a proponent of variable renewable energy sources. And so I told him he needed to speak to someone about nuclear. I suggested some other people that were more proficient in talking up nuclear than myself, but he wanted to speak with me because I'm the one pushing for the idea of using nuclear power in various ways to mine Bitcoin.
Well, you come with a very even keel. When you know what I mean? Like, other people might have a little bit of edge to them. You don't. You're very kind. You're very easy to talk to. So that's why I think he wanted to have you in the show. And since we're talking, you brought up the subject of energy generation and variable renewable energy sources. Let's talk just really briefly about what's happening here in Canada. And there's some interesting developments. I'm not sure if you've been following this, but it looks like a couple of provinces, they are kind of turning their back on Bitcoin mining. I'm talking about Manitoba and Quebec specifically. And Manitoba just recently announced a memorandum, I believe it was 18 months, for any new applications for Bitcoin miners to be attached to the grid. And Quebec, they announced that they may be running out of energy in the next few years, less than a decade from now. I want to hear your thoughts about this and if there's any way that we could try to reverse these problems with the energy generation in Canada.
That's going to be a tough one. It's going to have others probably lead by example in ways that it can be done correctly and beneficially, and show them that what they are doing is kind of passing on a very big opportunity to take advantage of the abundant energy sources that these provinces actually do have. They're very wealthy in hydropower, but yes, they do have a lot of demand on the grid and expect that to continue growing in the near future. But one of the things about Quebec is that they had the opportunity to embrace nuclear power, but they rejected that a little over a decade ago. There used to be two nuclear reactors that operated in Quebec that were initially planned to be refurbished, but then were denied that extension and decommissioned in 2008-2009 period. Yeah, so turning their back on Bitcoin mining is just going to give other provinces like Alberta and possibly Saskatchewan an opportunity to, or there's also lots going on in BC and Ontario, and we may see some interesting stuff in the northern provinces if they can catch on with some of their energy sources. So this could get very interesting if some adopt it and some don't, because as Alberta has shown recently, that they are willing to impose their sovereignty, they don't really see eye to eye with the federal government. They're going to probably do whatever they wish with this Bitcoin mining thing, because they already have a big contingency of them mining on their flared gas fields.
Yeah, that's a totally different ball of wax altogether. And it's a lot of opportunity over there to monetize potentially stranded and wasted energy. But I want to just double back to what happened in Quebec. You mentioned that they mothballed a couple of reactors back in the end of last decade, actually 2 decades ago, 2008 and 2009. Is there any hope in heck that they could actually revive these, or have they been disassembled? What's the status of those reactors? I'm curious if you have any news on that.
Oh, as far as I'm aware, they've been decommissioned to a state where it would be very, it would basically be building a new reactor from scratch in where they exist to bring that back into operation. So if Quebec doesn't wish to go with nuclear power, there's Ontario, New Brunswick, Alberta, Saskatchewan. They're all signed on to a memorandum to explore potential applications for small modular reactors and various other nuclear power technology. So we'll see how things go.
Run with that. The small nuclear reactors. Could you talk a little bit more about what they are, what they encompass? What defines a small nuclear reactor?
A small modular reactor is a nuclear reactor that is less than 300 megawatts of electrical generation. They will come in various sizes. There's 70 proposed different designs of small modular reactors on the global market right now. Most of them are just smaller versions of the traditional boiled water reactors that are used for most of the traditional reactor fleet, just in a smaller version. And then there are also new advanced reactor types that will take advantage of different reactor nuclear fission technologies that were proven and explored and developed like decades ago, but they were put on the shelf because of the reactor, or well, like the nuclear reactor and power technology settled on like one reactor design, and they all kind of went with similar designs based off of what they knew worked, so they could get more repetition of the same reactor instead of trying to build multiple different designs. And it was more economical just to pick one and go with it. So there were a lot of reactor designs that got shelved that are now coming back into fashion, like high temperature gas, molten salt, liquid metals like liquid sodium, and various other solid state reactor cooling technologies. So there's a lot of new potential reactor technologies that are ready to be demonstrated within the next 5 to 10 years. Canada is currently courting at least 12 of these vendors that are proposing these reactor designs, with six being already kind of announced at various states of the licensing proposals. So there's one that's been getting a lot of talk right now that's going to be built at the Darlington site that was prepared for a reactor many years ago, but that project was canceled. It was the Advanced CANDU reactor. They are going to partner with GE Hitachi to build a 300 megawatt version of their boiled water reactor, and that's going to be the grid scale reactor. And it's been getting a lot of fanfare and financing from the federal government and provincial government lately. And then there's also at Canadian Nuclear Laboratories, there is going to be built a micro modular reactor that's going to have an output of 5 megawatts or 5 megawatts electrical, 15 megawatts thermal, so it can be used for cross purposes. So not just for electrical generation, but various other thermal applications that are highly sought after for many like resource refinement processes. So that's going to be one of those projects. And then there's going to be an advanced reactor built by Moltex out using the Point Lepreau site as its testing ground. And they are proposing a new molten salt type of reactor that will be able to use a type of reprocessed nuclear fuel that uses the recycled byproducts that come from the traditional reactors to varying degrees to obtain more of the energy that exists within that nuclear fuel that after it's been spent in a traditional reactor, because there's still 80% of the available energy still remains in the fuel rods after their useful lifetime in most reactors.
And how much energy is extracted once they I'm going to say, use the word recycle it, but in terms of extracting further energy, then how much is extracted altogether?
They can get it down. It's still like a lot of testing in theory, but they believe they can get it extract up to 90-95% of the available energy out of these fuel. And then, but that also has the dual purpose of it increases the rate of decay of the nuclear material, so that when the process is completed, there is less like radioactive byproduct to process and store after the complete process.
So you just answered one of the questions we have from the audience. Romel was asking, is this considered quote unquote clean, and will this satisfy the ESG focused people? Now, given your answer, it sounds like it should, but is there still any resistance coming from these people that are ESG focused?
It should definitely satisfy anybody that's looking for the environmental and social and governance. Like, the nuclear power industry has definitely had a checkered past with sensational accidents and a perpetual, like, we don't know what to do with the waste problem, but for the most part we can use it, and what little is left is still storable.
That's interesting. Yeah. They're further refining the amount of energy that they could extract out of it. So that's really cool. But I want to double back to the small modular reactors. What's the application to date for this? Is it particularly or primarily used in ships, submarines, and stuff like that, so propulsion, or is there something else that is currently the application for using them right now?
Yeah, there were some old tests for land-based SMRs, but like the economics didn't work for large-scale deployments. For the most part, they're submarines and military vessels. There is definitely an interest in developing nuclear-powered freighting ships that would definitely reduce the amount of hydrocarbon-based fuels that are used in the shipping industry. But there are definitely like some safety and security and like port-based regulatory and licensing issues that would need to be worked out and harmonized prior to seeing technologies like that develop. But that is definitely something that we can expect in the not too distant future.
Is it feasible to actually use these SMRs in land-based applications in replacing one large, say, nuclear plant, coal plant, whatever? So rather than having that one large plant, you have multiple of these SMRs located throughout communities, and that would be able to provide power to homes, businesses, and so forth. Is that something that is more of a long-term vision for SMRs?
That is one of the major intentions that we have, is to replace a lot of diesel generation in remote off-grid communities and large coal plants that would typically serve as peaker plants. And one of the cool features about the SMRs is that they do have load following capabilities, where you can just release any steam that you don't need, or you can adjust the control rods to control the output from your core. But the way I see it, if we apply Bitcoin mining to the nuclear power generation, we can just leave the reactor alone at 100% and just have that customer available regardless of what your demand fluctuates at.
That would be ideal, to somehow incorporate Bitcoin mining in power generation, especially with the small modular reactors. Now, in fact, we had some news recently that in Japan, the company TEPCO is looking into, well, they're going to be mining Bitcoin with surplus energy over there. And to me, that is a bullish case on multiple levels. Do you know a little bit about this? If you could talk a little bit more about what's going on over in Japan with this Bitcoin mining initiative?
Yeah, I had only just heard about that this morning myself, and I am very interested to see what this is about and what it leads to. Like, apparently they had a little testing facility at one of their central grid stations, and they were seeing the applicability of using like flexible high consumption computing to manage like load response and reliability. So they sounds like they're talking about Bitcoin, but they didn't seem to outright say they were mining Bitcoin. But I think that's what they're up to, because like Japan, they have their electricity industry is very weird place right now, because they did have a lot of nuclear reactors operating for many decades. And then after the incident at Fukushima, most of their fleet was shut down, and it's been kind of in a standby state for, at least well over a decade now. And they are eager to get their nuclear power capacity back online. They are retrofitting all of their power plants with seawalls that will protect them from the wildest tsunamis that you can imagine. And they are going to have a lot of excess power as they start this transition from relying heavily on imported natural gas to back onto getting their nuclear power fleet online, which is going to be probably a very step-by-step operation for the next 2 to 3 years, because there's many plants at various states of preparedness to be re-established. So it's going to be that is a very interesting story, and I'm very curious to see where that's going to go. And it could be an interesting example.
Yeah. So Archiving Clown World mentions that weren't they piloting a 15 kilowatt plan? I think that's what I was reading in the article that I saw earlier today. And I'm wondering, given the fact that if they do have surplus energy, it must be difficult for them to deal with it. Here in Ontario, for instance, it's easy for us because we could just sell it at a loss, but we could do so with the state of New York and even with Quebec. But over in Japan, being an island, it's not like it's easy. They could transport. It's actually impossible to deal with to sell off the excess energy, the surplus energy. So Bitcoin mining should be an absolute easy win over there. It's just it totally makes sense. And you were talking about the spinning up and ramping up and ramping down power plants in Canada. But the ones that they're thinking about, these nuclear plants in Japan, are they going to have the same type of ease for ramping up or ramping down, or will they just run at 100% and just you think that they'll be able to divert any excess energy to mining Bitcoin?
From what how it was explained to me in Japan is the generators, they just sell the maximum of what they can to TEPCO, and TEPCO is the grid operator that then does all of the distribution. So TEPCO is the primary hub that manages all of the distribution throughout Japan. So they're a very big player to take an interest in Bitcoin mining. And this is going to be an interesting example. And yeah, like you're right about like Ontario, and right now, like we have reactors under refurbishment. So we're not generating as much electricity as we normally would. But in typical years, Ontario can end up having a lot of excess electricity that gets distributed to our neighbors, and some of it just outright curtailed. And that happens more and more, especially the more remote that you get. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the SMRs come into play, because you could then centralize, so to speak, I guess, make things a little bit more closed looped over there. Those plants in Ontario that they're refurbishing, do you know when they're going to be coming back online to 100%? Is there any time frame?
The full project is going to be like early 30s, because it's a sequential operation where they're taking down one reactor at the Bruce plant and the Darlington plant simultaneously. And that each one is like a 2 to 3 year project. And then as those come back online, then they'll take down the next reactor. So they're going to have a sequence of 10 altogether. Mm-hmm. I think 2 have been completed so far. So,
and with that, do you foresee that there may be, now that we have these, still this old system where you have these large plants located throughout the province, does that create weak points in your eyes for potential, maybe, I don't want to say attack, but you look at it, you see, like, if you want it to knock out a province or a large area, a large geographical area, it's going to be rather simplistic if you just target a few select sites that generate these power. Do you think that this creates an opportunity for somebody out there to look at and say, this might be a good spot to attack. And if so, then how do we combat that?
That definitely could be a security risk. Like the operators of these plants take take absolutely serious the most threatening of risks that could happen. But like then again, we saw, I don't remember exactly where it was, but somewhere in the United States, there was like vandals sabotaging transformers. And that's a really central point of electrical grids. And they were shooting at a electrical transformer, and that could potentially put thousands, millions out of electricity, depending on where that is. So I don't know, maybe these incidents will spur on some incentive to harden our electricity assets in various ways to prevent from these sort of goings on. But yeah, the more high risk of a facility that you have, like the higher the security is going to be. Like at nuclear plants, like yeah, it's very high security.
That was recent, the I don't want to say attack, but at least those people that were targeting those transformers, that was very recent, within the past couple of months, if I recall correctly. Am I right in that? Because I
that was like a week ago. Yeah, yeah. That was very recent. So the reasoning and the logic and what the media is putting, who knows what's going on, but somebody shot at a transformer and messed up electricity distribution. Like that's not cool. That's the kind of shit that people need to be arrested for.
So I don't care. Now let's go back to the SMRs. Now, as a layman here, if somebody comes to me and says, we're going to be installing an SMR in your neighborhood, I'll be perfectly honest, I'm going to have some second thoughts about that. I definitely have some doubts. Try to give me some ideas, some information, why any FUD I have it's unsubstantiated. Explain to me how safe these little units are.
Well, that is obviously why we need to demonstrate and prove their capabilities first. That is why we in Canada are going to be hosting several of these reactor designs at our existing nuclear facilities. Some will be done quicker than others, but yeah, we're going to prove that they have advanced safety features and various fallback solutions in case there are any incidences, which will be incredibly rare because of the passive safety designs in the cooling systems of some of these new reactors. They're taking it, pulling out all the stops to make sure that these reactors are incredibly safe and that the exclusion zones around them will be within like a few hundred meters, let alone like where they've had to exclude for the major reactors, at least a few kilometers. And so they are ensuring that these Generation 4 advanced reactors are incredibly safe, and the risk of any problems with them is minimal. And then they're actively developing solutions for processing and handling the waste, and yeah, it's just going to provide reliable power, and you won't even know that it's there if you don't pay attention to it.
Do they work well in areas that have high seismic, a lot of earthquakes, or is it something that has to be on very stable ground?
There are definitely some like add-ons that can be used to make these reactor sites seismically stable. That is something that is being heavily considered because they want to ensure that these reactors can be safely deployed basically anywhere.
It seems to me then just setting one up, trying to prove that these work, the one thing you need is something to draw the energy on that. And something I'm thinking is a whole bunch of Bitcoin miners. Am I trying to connect dots here? This is the easiest case use for set one up to show that it's able to provide power. And the thing that it's providing power to is, well, it's Bitcoin mining. This seems to be a no-brainer to me. What do you think?
Seems obvious once you've seen what the Bitcoin miners are capable of doing and how they can just turn off when there's a higher priority customer that needs that electricity. They can respond to a loss of generation. They can just provide the flexibility of like a peaking plant, but operating on the demand side, allowing you to generate more than you would otherwise and make it economical. It's the perfect consumer to play out the pioneer species idea with deploying, SMRs and Bitcoin mining. It's Brandon Quinnum's idea in a nutshell. Like, we can take it to existing places. We can develop resource and mineral extraction sites. We can convert from natural gas in the uranium mining process, and also in a lot of the processes for the oil sands and oil refining. We can basically anything that uses electricity and heat, we can replace with nuclear. So realistically, we're not going to replace oil and natural gas in any meaningful way when it comes to the abundance of products and chemicals that we make out of them. We can eliminate them from electricity and heating applications. That is actually a realistic goal that we can accomplish in a meaningful time frame in like 2 to 3 decades if we really got after it. And there's definitely space for the wind and solar to be part of this, but I see that as being more supplementary. Like, if we want to take the concerns that the world is having right now seriously, we need to go all out on nuclear, and that's what a lot of other nations and intelligent people have been trying to say for quite some time.
We see what's going on in Europe right now, and they have decommissioned several nuclear plants in the past several years, decades, and now they're suffering the consequences of those decisions. If you had a chance to speak to people over there, the heads, say, in Germany or the European Parliament, what would you tell them with respect to power generation and nuclear?
Just build more nuclear. Don't shut down your existing nuclear. Like, there are... Yeah, there are mixed feelings because there are dominant forces that would rather see nuclear be kind of pushed away in Europe. But then there are others that are really looking towards a nuclear being part of their like long-term goals. Like, Germany has kind of paused on their decision to shut down all of their reactors at the moment. So we'll see what happens there. There's no certainty that they will reverse course, but we will see. Belgium had a commitment to shut down a few of their reactors, but they seem to be kind of hesitant about pulling the trigger now that the timeline is approaching. There's countries like Poland and Norway and Sweden and the Scandinavians. They're all nuclear power. Romania actually got financing to complete 2 CANDU reactors that had been left unfinished for like several decades. They had 2 operational CANDU reactors, but then the 3 and 4 units have been incomplete, so they finally got financing to finish that. There's a bunch of other countries throughout Europe. France just fired up a few more of their nuclear reactors, so most of their fleet is back online and operational. And I had the opportunity while at Adopting Bitcoin to speak briefly with Prince Philip about the idea of Serbia getting some nuclear power, which was a pretty cool and awesome little fanboy moment.
Run with that. You're not going to drop that piece of news and not go any further. Please run with this.
Well, I don't know. He seemed intrigued by the idea, but I was just like some random pleb going up to him, just like, hey, what's your energy mix look like? What are your thoughts about nuclear power? Like, how much influence do you have? So it was kind of fun. Like, I was definitely having a lot of fanboy moments meeting all the people that are normally just listening to on podcasts and reading their essays. So that was an awesome experience. And then I had a brief encounter with Prince Philip, and I suggested that Serbia could use some nuclear power.
I hope you had a chance to orange pill him while you were there.
I don't think he needed any orange pilling.
Because he was in the right spot. He was there already, right? So,
well, yeah, that's that's Prince Philip of Serbia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's already orange pilled. Like, have you seen his little moment there we had on the talk show where he was just like, Bitcoin, no. Not crypto.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, you got to check that out when you have a moment. He was on a talk show and he laid it down. The guy was like, "So I hear you're into crypto," and he's like, "No, I'm into Bitcoin."
And he laid down
a bunch. Yeah, he laid down a bunch of awesome. Yeah, all the good talking points. He was.
That's awesome. Now, yeah. I have to pick your brain about, I guess this might be sacrilege in some people's eyes, but wind and solar. And I know Europe seems to have adopted that as part of the backbone of their energy generation over there. And I'll be perfectly honest, myself, I honestly don't care where the energy comes from, as long as it's reliable and it's cheap. To me, when I flip on a light switch, I want to make sure that the light turns on and I'm not paying an arm and a leg for it. So if that comes from wind or solar, nuclear, or wherever, I really don't care. But I want to hear your thoughts about wind and solar. Do you think that if there's any future for it realistically moving forward, not just politically, but just realistic applications for moving forward to be attached to energy grids and maybe not be part of the backbone, at least be a supplement to energy generation moving forward?
It certainly has its application here and there, but there has actually been a surprising amount of resistance against in local rural areas about building large wind and solar installations, because it takes up a lot of land and some of it's kind of an eyesore in the landscape. So there's been a lot of places in like the United States and across Europe that are actually starting to go against the narrative that wind and solar people have been pushing, but there's been a lot of money available to them, so that's it's been a very interesting situation in how this stuff gets financed and then how it gets built and then the profits get taken, and then these facilities will often then be like, oh, and then after X amount of time it gets transferred to the landowner, but then that's the period where it starts needing maintenance and replacement and all the extraneous costs that don't get captured up front. So there's a lot of like kind of scammy stuff like that happens in that space. Like, nuclear doesn't have this, even the wiggle room to get away with crap like that anymore. Like, everything is accounted for from beginning to end in the whole process. Like, we can't even get a project greenlit until you can show every step of the way has been accounted for the entire lifetime of this reactor. So there's a high degree of accountability that doesn't seem to be applied equally to competing technologies. And then it's a fight over the subsidies, and everyone argues about who gets a better seat at the government trough. And then it's like, I don't know, I see the best technology is going to be the one that can generate the most hash rate. And if we've got 70 proposed reactor designs coming to the market, and what they're saying is like, oh, we're only going to be able to build a few of them because there's only going to be so much market demand. I think we can do better than that. Now that we have Bitcoin mining in play, we can test every single one of these reactors and not have to worry about it being a total flop. Like, who cares if 20 of them fail? If we get 50 new power sources that we can just deploy in countless applications, let's go for it. Like, I think that the Bitcoin mining applied to this new power generation capabilities that we are capable of is going to like blow the lid off of what we thought humanity was capable of. Like, this is how we push things forward.
I can see this is a very passionate subject that you want to talk about more. And I just wanted to just double back with respect to nuclear. And one thing that I don't think we talk about enough is that it could be, we could be energy independent because everything could be generated. The fuel itself harvested within Canada and disposed of within Canada. So we don't have to rely on outside sources to keep our lights on. And with respect to the disposal of the spent rods, What's the process with that? Because somebody could come up and say, there's a lot of, you know, somebody could get sick, very, very sick because of the radiation, and we may not treat it or store it safely. It could get into the water table, and there's so much FUD around that. Could you talk about the disposal of that? Because that seems to be the biggest amount of negativity surrounding nuclear.
Yeah. Well, I will go through the process as best as I understand it. When a nuclear fuel rod comes out of a reactor, it gets put in the spent fuel pools, and it's kept there for 4 to 6 years while some of the most harmful nucleides are given time to decay. And then once it's deemed feasible, that often will get transferred into a dry storage cask, and that can be stored for long term. It's basically just a large lead shielded container that can block the radiation coming out of these fuel rods down to where you see nothing on the outside of them. And then the long term intention is to store them in a deep geological repository, which is basically a geological formation that has been found to have existed for a substantial amount of time, like tens of hundreds of thousands of years, like a limestone cavern. That's that formation has just been there. So we're going to take advantage of that sort of like geology, and then apply a few extra engineering controls, the ability to move things in and out should we want to make them reaccessible later in the future. But for the most part, we're going to store this in a deep hole in a pre-existing cavern and keep an eye on it and keep it available in case we want it again in the future.
And very well said.
There's lots of it that we can already start to reuse in various ways. So it's a well-managed industrial byproduct.
And again, I would imagine that there's a lot of these opportunities to dispose of it in Canada. So we could close the system, we could extract everything here and then dispose of everything here as well. So we're dependent on nobody but ourselves, which would be absolutely fantastic. And up until now, I'm going to slightly change topics because we've been talking about fission, but it looks like scientists may have solved fusion power. And this is still just relatively new, and I just saw a video clip talking about it in the past little while. But looking at this, it seems like an almost limitless source of energy, and this could solve a lot of problems worldwide and also potentially power the Bitcoin mining. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about this, because it seems something rather exciting, and you know, there's nobody better to talk about it that's been on our show than you. So run with it. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I only know so much about fusion, and like even my knowledge and understanding of fission is limited as well. But it's a very awesome milestone to have crossed in a laboratory setting. That is a big achievement. It's going to take some time to develop that into some sort of commercial application. And yeah, I look forward to seeing how it progresses, and Bitcoin mining is definitely going to help it cross that like valley of death, of innovation little moment that a lot of technology goes through. So I can't wait. More power. I don't care where it comes from. Fission, fusion. I'm liking the stuff I'm hearing from Nate Harmon talking about the OTEC stuff on the ocean thermal energy conversion. There's a lot of cool opportunities that Bitcoin's going to enable for humans to harness more energy.
Even a prototype which they build that's relatively large scale, I would imagine they wouldn't want to place that anywhere near civilization. So even if they did that in a remote area, then in order to show that it's feasible to draw power from it, Bitcoin miners simply just plugged into that power source just makes total sense. So you said that Bitcoin would be the bridge to make it from prototype to, or you were talking about it, and I'm just paraphrasing here, that from prototype to actual reality. And there's so much opportunity here that Bitcoin can provide the real world. And this is another one. So I'm curious to see how this one plays out. And I just want to go to the last thing I want to talk about, and Greenpeace. You see, there's so much that's going on over there. Are we ever going to get them on board the nuclear bandwagon, or are they always just going to continually glue their hands to cars and works of art, valuables works of art?
Oh, if they wanted to do something useful, they'd go and get an engineering degree and actually develop some sort of technology that can solve the problems that they complain about instead of just drawing goofy attention to themselves, because it's not doing anything of value except irritating people. Like, the engineers and the people with a vision to develop these technologies are the ones that see where the future is going. Like, Greenpeace hates both nuclear power and Bitcoin. They've hated nuclear way longer than they've hated Bitcoin. So it's quite the pair to put together to just really grind their gears, because not only is it they dislike both of these technologies, but when you put them together, they can solve a lot of the problems that they complain about too. And as perpetual complainers, they're going to hate that.
So what they've been doing, they've been blocking motorways. They've been sitting on the freeways and airports in Munich. They did this recently. So I think we should turn the tables. We should get one of these micro modular reactors, create one or a bunch of them. Let's go to their headquarters and just surround their building with these micro modular reactors and show them what it's all about. We should turn the tables. You're the man to do it. Can we do it?
I just want to see these technologies work together and build a better future for humans. Like, there's so much excitement going on in like Africa. Africa wants nuclear power and Africa wants Bitcoin. This just makes sense to just start building these things. There's such huge markets that are open for both of these technologies.
That's the difference between you and I. You have a more honest and you're thinking things through in order to the approach of actually using it. Me, I just want to troll as much as possible. Let's use the technology, troll them, and if they don't like it, we'll just keep trolling them until they see it our way. So that's my point of view. So it's good to have an opposing point of view. But you're right.
We troll them by succeeding. By succeeding where they have just been not – I haven't seen much accomplishment from them in recent years. So let's do what they have claimed to be doing with
you mean throwing our own roundabout tomato soup way. Throwing tomato soup on a priceless work of art isn't advancing their cause, you don't think?
No, I don't know. It's not, some people seem to be into it, but I don't know. It's demeaning at this point.
No, totally agree. So I think we should wrap things up, but before I hand things off and just we go into the sum set, I just want to hand things over to you. And where people can find you, what's going to be happening with you in the distant future, because you've been in a lot of different places, and I'm curious to see what's happening in the world of Ryan in the next little while.
Yeah. So on Twitter, you can find me as Nuclear Bitcoiner. I'm just out here promoting the idea of getting nuclear power, figuring out Bitcoin mining, and joining these two industries to help humanity into the future. I'm probably going to be at the Canadian Bitcoin Conference, because absolutely, it's Canada and we're finally having our conference. So very excited to see the goings on there and meet all the other fellow Canucks. And who knows what else is going to be happening. I'm going to apply to speak at other conferences. I know that. I'm going to keep talking to people on Twitter. You can talk on more podcasts, whoever wants to talk about this idea. That's what I'm down for. It's been a lot of fun.
The Canadian Bitcoin Conference is going to be awesome. I'll be there too. Hopefully you show up. I already met you once and it was a pleasure meeting both you and your wife. We met at Safari Bar and Grill a few months ago in Toronto, which was awesome. So yeah, so thank you for joining us, and wish you the best for the next little while. I'm sure we'll be talking again and bring you back on the show. And I look forward to seeing your appearances in many more podcasts. So yeah, with that, thanks so much for joining us. And for everybody out there, take care and have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for having me.